Everybody, I don't think I've ever been this late. We're a few minutes late, but of course the reason for being late is between Major and Christopher. I mean, at least I can blame them for it. I imagine the problems with traffic in the city with these big
Major and Christopher.
And I had forgotten all about it, that it is a few days before Purim, and I should have known that our poet laureate, our Mishoreret Malka, Kvar Ovedet V'Kotevet U'Kvar Katva Et Hashir HaShnati. I have a whole file of Malkas and the beautiful Shalachmanes over here. So I imagine we traditionally begin by reading. Wait a minute, she wrote it in English.
Yeah.
Malka. Oh, that's what she writes. But Tovshinun Hey Yerushalayim Rakodesh Kol Hashanim BeYivrit VaPam BeAnglit Al Menat LeKayim Et HaPasuk VeNahafocho. Yeah, things like to Rabbi Gold, whose lessons are interesting, stimulating, and elevating. To our highly esteemed teacher, Malka. Kol ha'shanim shat lomedet etzli, lomadet anglit. Yeah, you learned English. To our highly esteemed teacher, who could be for thousands a preacher. Very good. I wonder upon why they're not coming from east and west to drink with
gear,
his soft and clever words. Very good, you're right. I hope the perplexed will soon approach from all directions to follow Rabbi Gold's instructions, which are to aspire for a more meaningful life and so to make the world a better place to live in. Malka!
Very nice.
Purim Sameach Umivadeach L'chol HaMishpacha, they're not Malka. Thank you all very much for the lovely Shalachmanis. I don't know why every year it comes as a surprise. I just don't even think of it. And I come schlepping through traffic, all nervous and upset. And will I make it on time or not? And there is the Shalachmanis waiting. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the fact that you come from near and far in order to hear the esteemed teacher, who could be a preacher. And it's good to be back from Chutz Laaretz. And I think I had mentioned before I left that we would be learning Megillat Esther this morning. Okay. All right, so let's learn. Next week in Mi'etz Hashem, we'll get back to the Haftarot. And if I'm not mistaken, we're going to have 2 weeks before we break for Pesach. Oh, you have your Tanakh? Then I have. Anybody wants a Megill? I have one. Yeah. Let's see. No, I don't have any more. That's it. I just had one and she... Let's see. Do I have another one? No. Yeah, I do have. I do. I'll tell you, everybody starts, every time we learn Megillat Esther, everybody starts from the beginning. I don't want to start from the beginning. I want to start from the middle. Nobody ever gets to the middle. I want to start with chapter 5. But even as we learn chapter 5, I'll have to take you back a little bit here and there. Here, the three of you, there's another one. There's chapter 5. All right. Vayehi b'yom ha'shlishi. Chapter 5 of the Megillah begins, Vayehi b'yom ha'shlishi, and it came to pass on the third day, Vatilbash Esther Malchut, and Esther clothed herself regally. Vata'amod b'chatzar beit ha'melech ha'pnimit, and she stood in the inner courtyard of the palace, Nochar beit ha'melech, facing the house of the king, his throne room. The king is sitting on his royal throne, the Bet HaMalchut, in the house of the kingdom, Nochach Petach HaBayit, facing the door of the house. This is quite a long description of what's taking place. Let me give you the background. The background over here is we already know that Haman, together with Ahasuerus, have decided upon the destruction of the entire Jewish people in 127 states of the realm. Signed and sealed has been the edict to destroy all of the Jewish people on the 13th day of Adar in the year to come. The riders of the king had already gone out all over the realm, and we had the description how Haman and Ahasuerus sat down to drink and to eat. Ha-melech v'Haman yashu lishtot, they sit down to drink, v'ho'ir Shushan avoch, and the city of Shushan is in confusion. In chapter 4, the chapter before this, we find Mordechai tearing his garments, going out into the streets of Shushan, a cry of agony. He comes running to Esther. Esther sends a message to him that you cannot come into the precincts of the king wearing sackcloth, so she sends him clothing to change in order to be able to come into the palace, and he says no, he's not going to change his clothing. And there goes the conversation back and forth between the two, where he tells her that you have to go out and save the Jewish people, and if you are, if you're going to remain silent now, then you should know there will be aid and assistance and salvation to the Jewish people from another place, and you and your father's house will be destroyed, and who knows a year from now if you're even going to be queen. So that he places tremendous pressures upon her, and then all of a sudden she says, and here comes, in the middle of chapter 4, comes a turning point in the Megillah. The turning point is that Esther begins to give the instructions to Mordechai. She tells him, Lech Knosas Kol Yehudim, go gather all of the Jews together, and I want you all to fast for me 3 days and three nights. V'gam ani v'narotai, I and my girls, we will also fast. And then I will come to the king, because you have to know that no one is permitted to come to the king unless they have been invited. And anybody who comes uninvited into the throne room of the king, Achad Dato Lahamid, will be put to death. V'ani, and I have not been called to the king now for 30 days. That means that I have to be prepared for Mesiras Nefesh Mamish. I will be taking my life into my hands by going to the king. So therefore you pray, I pray, we will all fast 3 days, day and night. The last pasuk of chapter 4 may also be extremely instructive. Vayavor Mordechai, Vayas Kechol Asher Tzivta Alav Esther. And Mordechai, Vayavor Mordechai, Mordechai crossed over. Where did he cross over? There were two parts to this city. The city itself was Shushan. Shushan was the capital city. But the area of the seat of government, the Kiryat HaMemshala, was Shushan HaBira. Shushan HaBira was the area in which all of the government offices, the palace of the king, and what separated Shushan HaBira from Shushan was a river, and a, call it a river or a moat, and there was a river that he had to cross. Vayavor Mordechai, and Mordechai crossed. But what was the most important part? Vayas kechol asher tzivta alav Esther, he did everything that Esther commanded him. I believe once, some years ago, in a shir, if I'm not mistaken, it was a shir for Stern College, the Rav Soloveitchik said that what happens over here, what happens in this pasuk, what is expressed in that last pasuk in chapter 4 is the dominant character up until that point is Mordechai. And now the scene, now everything shifts. The dominant character now becomes Esther.
And Mordechai is now going to become the instrument of Esther's will. Mordechai will do everything that Esther has commanded him to do. And he described the differences between between male and female. Mordechai is the one who wants quickly, move, do, yell, demonstrate, I don't know, bang pots and pans. And Esther is the one who slows him down. Wait a minute. Let's think about this carefully. Let's consider it. She is the one who says, gather together all of the Jews. Let's pray. Let's fast. There is something about the Bina Yetedah there, that additional and added sense of understanding, the woman's intuition. And it's Esther who has this intuition, while Mordechai is the one, the male, who's ready to just disrupt everything and go ahead and do what has to be done. So here comes the change. The torch is passed from Mordechai to Esther, or let's say better, Esther is the one who takes over now. And therefore, Vayavar Mordechai crossed over to Shushan, and he now does Kechol Asher Tzivta Alav Esther, everything that Esther commands him to do. Because it is now going to be the calmer nature of Esther that is going to prevail. She is going to give the instructions. She is the one who will guide and direct the campaign to save Klal Yisrael. Everything is going to be in her hands. More than that, what we're going to see in this chapter is she doesn't have the benefit of anybody to discuss it with. She is all alone. This Yiddish Meidala is all alone. Mordechai now has crossed over to Shushan. It's going to be her and the king now. Her and the king. No one. She has no cabinet to whom she can turn. She, of course, the only one that she's going to turn to is, as she now, in this first pasuk, she stands before the throne room. Now comes the crucial moment. It's at this moment that can be the very last one of her life. Anyone who attempts to walk into the king who has not been invited, achad dato lahamit, she may very well be killed on the spot, except for the one, the only one, who will be able to cross that threshold is the one to whom the king extends the golden scepter. This is the moment. The drama of this moment. Here is a Yiddish Meidala who is going al Kiddush Hashem. And it comes to pass on the third day, Batilbash Esther Malchut. The Gemara asks the question on this first pasuk. The Gemara asks the question that has to be asked. Shouldn't the pasuk have said, Batilbash Esther put on big day Malchut, the clothing of Malchut? What do you mean? How do you put on Malchut? How do you put on royalty? How do you put on royalty? Malka. In other words, what happens with Esther now, Esther is beginning to act regally. Batilbash Esther Malchut. And the Gemara asks, Big day Malchut mi bayalei. It should have said that she put on the clothing of Malchut. Amar Rab Chanina. So one pshat in the Gemara is that Ruach HaKodesh descended upon her. The Holy Spirit of HaKodesh Baruch Hu descends upon her. But there's a second pshat, that all of a sudden she began to act like the family she had come from. She was from the family of Shaul. There was royal blood coursing through her veins. And here at the moment that she needs it most, the moment this girl who had been born to greatness now had greatness thrust upon her, and therefore she rises to the occasion. She puts on Malchut, and we're going to see how important this is. One of the points that I always want to make when I study the Megillah is, never dare we make the mistake of thinking that the Megillah is a cute story. What a heartwarming, you know, there are the good guys and the bad guys, and the end is the good guys win, and it's all the result of the fact that, you know, some king falls in love with a Yiddish Meidala. We're talking about Kitvei HaKodesh. We're talking about something that was written by Ruach HaKodesh. We are talking about a sefer that has become part of the Tanakh. We are talking about a sefer where every word has to be weighed and measured. But Tildash Esther Malchut, she cloaks herself with Malchut. And watch the next passage. Vayehi chirot hamelech et Esther Malka. When the king saw Esther Hamalka, Omedet Bechatzer, standing in the courtyard, Nosachin Beinav, she had favor in his eyes. Vayoshet Hamelech Lester Cherbit Hazav. He extends to her the golden scepter, Ashebi Yadov, that's in his hand. Vatikrav Esther. Esther drew close. Vatigash. Vatigab the Rosh Hasharbit. She touched the head of the scepter. You have to realize the tension between Pasuk 1 and Pasuk 2 over here. Her life is hanging in the balance. But more than that, a change has come over Ahasuerus as well. This is the first time that he refers to her as Esther Hamalka. When the king saw Esther Hamalka, if I will take you through the Megillah, you will find that up until now, she has been referred to all the time as Esther, except in two places. In chapter 4, it says that Mordecai tells her, sends a message telling her that all of the Jewish people are under threat of total destruction. So it says, "Vatischalchal hamalka miyod," the queen began to tremble. The queen began to tremble. And I believe the reason why it says over there, the queen began to tremble, because all of a sudden she feels that's the very beginning of those feelings that she's going to have to become a Malka. She can no longer be the little, finer Meidala Esther, who's never suffering terribly with the fact that she has to be married to this guy. That is Chalchal HaMalka Mi'od, when she hears that all of the Jewish people are going to be destroyed, it may very well be that all of a sudden she realizes now the answer to her question. What was troubling her all the time? Why did it fall to her lot that she should have to be married to this Rosh Ahasuerus? And she kept thinking to herself, just as Mordechai was thinking all along. It says that after Esther was taken to the palace of the king, Mordechai Mishalech, Mordechai would walk back and forth every day in front of the Beit HaNashim, the house of the women, Ladat to know Mashlom Esther, how is Esther getting along, Umayya Yosem, what's being done to her. What is Mordechai? Mordechai has also been wondering. Why does it happen? Why did it happen? There has to be a plan. Something that he doesn't know is afoot. That a good Jewish girl is taken to the house of Ahasuerus, and a good Jewish girl becomes the wife of the most powerful man on the face of this earth. When Esther hears that all of Israel are endangered, all of their lives are on the line, Vatischalchal HaMalka Ma'od, the queen begins to tremble. The royalty within her begins to tremble. She now is beginning to realize why indeed is she here. There's one other pasuk. That other pasuk is in chapter 2. In chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2 it says that there were two fellows who were plotting to kill Ahasuerus, Bigs of the Seresh. There was an assassination attempt. In chapter 2, Pasuk 22, it says, Vayivada hadova l'Mordechai. It became known to Mordechai. Vayaged l'Esther Hamalka. he told Esther Amalka, Batomer Esther Lamelech, B'shem Mordechai. Esther said it, told it to the king in the name of Mordechai. It's the only place up until now that she's been referred to as Esther Amalka. And I believe the reason for it is simple, because Mordechai understands that she's Esther Amalka. It's talking about whom? The pasuk has said, Vayaked, Mordechai told, who does he speak to? He realizes that she's in this position for some very special reason. He realizes that she's Esther Hamalka. The king only sees her as Esther. Truth is, I don't know if the king wanted a queen. He already had enough problems with one queen. Second time around, you don't want you don't even want a Jap. You don't even want a Jewish princess. He doesn't want a queen. The whole struggle between Ahasuerus and Vashti in the first chapter of the Megillah, and this we talked about, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, and this is really the underpinning of the Malbin's Perush on the Megillah. In the first chapter, Vashti is referred to as Vashti Hamalka or Hamalka Vashti. She is either referred to as Vashti the Queen or Queen Vashti. And the Malbim explains that that was the struggle between the two of them. Ahasuerus saw her as Vashti, who is queen by virtue of the fact that she's married to him. Vashti, who was from the royal family of Nebuchadnezzar, saw herself as queen first and as Vashti second. That was the struggle. Ahasuerus sees himself as king in his own right, and she is queen only because of him. And she sees it in precisely the opposite way. And at one point when he calls her to come before him in order to display her beauty before all of the officers of her realm, and she refuses to come, so she says, you are the Bar Ahuraira de Beis Avi Abba. You are the son of the stable boy of my Zayda. Because Ahasuerus was a commoner. And he was a commoner who achieved power. Vayehi, as the Megillah begins, Vayehi Bimei Ahasuerus. It came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. Who Ahasuerus? He is Ahasuerus HaMolech, who began to rule Mehod of Yadkush. He's not called Melech at the beginning, he's Ahasuerus, and commoner who rises to power. Alright, so now watch. So therefore, in this second pasuk, for the first time, as Ahasuerus sees her standing by the entrance to the throne room, and he knows that she is now placing her life on the line. He sees her, it's no longer just Esther. All of a sudden he sees before himself Esther Hamalka. This is a regal, royal woman. This is a woman of strength. Not simply a woman, you know, that has chut shel chesed, moshechola, you know, she finds favor, you know, cute. This is not cute. This is a woman with power, a woman with strength. And remember, as we pointed out, this strength has already been felt by Mordechai. Mordechai now becomes the instrument in the hands of Esther. Vayavol Mordechai crosses over to Shushan, and he does kechol asher tzivta alav Esther, everything that Esther commanded her. Because now it's going to be the woman's intuition of Esther that is going to decide the fate of the Jewish people. Gemara also tells us,
yes,
what's unique about Megillat Esther is the fact that the period of prophecy has come to an end. They're in the dark. They are in the dark. That's the whole story of the Megillah. These are people who are able to function only on the basis of prayer. They don't have any direct connection min hashamayim. There's nobody to tell them what to do. In this pasuk that we're talking about right over here, it says, it says that when she came to Beit HaMalchut, when she came to Chotzer HaMalchus, Nistalka Mimeno Ruach HaKodesh, any spirit of holiness that she had departed from her. And it was then that Esther HaMalka said, chapter 22 in Tehillim, Keli, Keli, Lama Azaftani, my God, why did you forsake me? The beauty and the power of the Megillah is that these people don't know. They don't have the benefit of prophecy. They don't have the benefit of anybody to tell them what to do. They have to grope for themselves. They have to pray. They have to hope. That's the whole story. That's why the name of God does not appear in Megillat Esther. In Megillat Esther, God is in concealment. That's the whole story. They don't know. That's the story of the Golos. We don't know, and we have to act on what? On hope, on prayer. That's the whole story. Anybody who thinks that Mordechai had some in with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, or Esther had a direct line, has missed the whole story of the Megillah. It's Megillat Esther, Legalot, to reveal that which is concealed. They're in the dark. They're in the dark. I'm going to press this point home during the course of this perek, and I'm going to show you a Maimer Chazal, a statement of our rabbis that is so powerful, that is so beautiful, and then you will see. Nobody over here, they're not going to Mekubalim, they're not going to Rebbes, there's nobody who can tell them what to do. It's a Meidal by the name of Esther, and a great man, albeit a great man, Mordechai, but they have been given absolutely no instructions, Min HaShemayim. It is a period of concealment. And therefore, even throughout all of history, when we read the Megillah, the whole purpose of reading the Megillah is Legalot Megale Esther, to reveal what is concealed between the lines. Between the lines of the Megillah is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Jew who opens up his eyes and is able to read between those lines sees him. They have no benefit of no one. And Esther now, in this chapter, she is all alone. So lonely. And therefore, to whom does she turn? Keli, Keli, my God, Lama Azaftani, why did you forsake me? Pasuk 3. Vayomela HaMelech, the king said to her. Now in the Pasuk, what you have to begin to understand from Pasuk by Pasuk, what you have to be aware of is, and that's really one of the other messages I want to get across, a description of the atmosphere, a description of feelings. Vayom Elo HaMelech, the king said to her, Malach Esther HaMalka. Now he indeed addresses her as Esther HaMalka. First time, this must probably come as a shock to her too. Malach Esther HaMalka, what is it? Uma bakashotech, and what is your request? Ad chatzi hamalchut v'yinaten lach, until half of the kingdom I will give to you. Alright, I'm going to give you a moment. How would you describe Ahasuerus? How does he feel? The king, how does he feel? You know how he feels now? He's frightened. He is frightened. There's something here. He is unnerved. He is unnerved. First of all, he hasn't seen her for 30 days. What does he say? Malach. Do you hear in the words Malach? Like, what's wrong? What's wrong? He immediately imagines what's wrong. You know why he imagines that? He realizes that this woman, a second ago, could have been cut down, killed. She has strength, but more than strength. She has endangered her life in order to come here. Why? Something must be seriously wrong. Only something extremely important. Something life-threatening. Only something of that sort could have brought her to stand now in front of his throne room. Malach Esther HaMalka.
in the Haftorah for Parshat Chaye Sara, which is the first chapter in Sefer Malachim, Adoniyahu ben Chagit has rebelled against David and has been crowned as king. Natan HaNavi comes to Bathsheba, who is the mother of Shlomo, and he tells her, listen, you and Shlomo are in grave danger because Adoniyahu ben Chagit has made himself king, and Yoav ben Tzruya and all of the officers, everybody is there, and terrible things are happening out there, and David HaMelech is deathly sick. Nobody comes in to David. He's unable to function anymore. And in the middle of all of this, Bathsheba comes walking into David. The only two words David says to her, Malach, 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 what's wrong? No hello, no how are you? How are you feeling? Have a nice day. Nothing of the sort. There's fear. Why, by the way, why is it that nobody is permitted to come into the king without having been invited, and anybody who comes to the king uninvited is going to be put to death? Security. Why security? For two reasons. Number one, this commoner has made his way to power over the bodies of tens of thousands. He's a ruthless, brutal killer. Nobody becomes ruler of the world. Nobody removes a dynasty that has been in power for many years simply by his good looks or his popularity. The only way one becomes the leader of the world is by being a ruthless, brutal, cruel killer. He has many enemies, and he knows that he has enemies. That's why at the beginning of the Megillah, he makes a party for 180 days for all of the rulers of all of the realms. After the great bloodbath, what does Ahasuerus want to do? He wants to mend the fences. He wants to create friendships throughout the world. He needs people who are going to help him maintain power. And then come 7 days during which he mends fences and makes friends in Shushan and Shushan Habira around him. But do you understand, after all of his attempts at rebuilding his defenses, the people closest to him attempt to assassinate him, and it's only at the last minute that Mordechai tells him that Bigson and Seresh are planning your assassination. Bigson and Seresh are people who are closest to him. Do you know what? You know what Ahasuerus has learned? That he's going to pay a frightening price for having achieved power. The frightening price is he's never going to have another peaceful moment in his life. Malach, to come unannounced into him. Do you know what's happened to him? He's living not in a palace. He's in a jail. Ahasuerus is in a jail. He is surrounded by all sorts of people that are watching him, and there are people ready to kill anyone who's going to step into the throne room or the Chatzar HaMalchut unannounced. He's a frightened man. And now his fear, the fear that he's living with all of the time, the fear is rising now. Because here is Esther, who comes walking into him unannounced. Malach Esther Amalka. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? He feels that something terribly wrong. Is she coming to tell him? By the way, yeah. What had she told him the last time she spoke to him that is recorded in the Megillah? She came to tell him that Bigson and Seresh are planning to assassinate him. At the end of chapter 2, he investigated and he found out it's true. Exactly what Esther told him, that there's a plot to assassinate him, is true, and they hung him. Is it possible that she's now coming to tell him again of a plot? Ad chatzi ha-malchut v'inaten lach, until half the kingdom, and it will be given to you. He's ready to part with half the kingdom for his safety. He's concerned about himself. He's worried about himself. But it's more than that. The Gemara takes us one step further. The Gemara says, you can have ad chatzi ha-malchut ad davar, until something that will cut my malchut in half. Chatzi means also chotze, something that will cut it in half. And the Gemara says, what is it that can split and divide his kingdom? Binyan Bet HaMikdash, the construction of the Bet HaMikdash. Let me give you the historical background. Ezra and Nehemiah had already gone on Aliyah with the dredges of Jewish society in Bavel. The Shaini Yidden stayed in Bavel. It was the guys who were Leitzlachnikis that weren't getting any place in Bavel anyway, so what's the difference? Might as well go on Aliyah, you know, get a few bucks from the Jewish agency. All right. So the Leitzlachs are the ones that go with Ezra and Nehemiah, and they've begun the construction of the of Yerushalayim. They have built the wall around Yerushalayim. They have already begun the construction of the Beit HaMikdash, and then the indigenous population complained to Koresh, king of Paras. They don't want any Beit HaMikdash. They want all construction in the Jerusalem area to be stopped. The Shomronim, the Tzorei Yehuda uBinyamin, the ones, the oppressors of Yehuda and Binyamin, say no more construction in the Jerusalem area. So the construction of the Beis HaMikdash is stopped. And Ahasuerus, when he comes to power, he reaffirms the seger, the closure, or the end of construction of the Beit HaMikdash. Why are they frightened? Why are they frightened of the construction of the Beit HaMikdash? What is Ahasuerus troubled by? Ahasuerus is troubled by the construction of the Beit HaMikdash because that will represent a Judea, a Jewish state reborn. And a Jewish state reborn he sees as a threat. I've quoted on a number of occasions, I've quoted the Roman historian who said some 600 years later, when Judea rebels, the entire Roman Empire quakes. Judea was the smallest of the provinces of the Roman Empire, but when the Jews rebelled, an entire empire quaked. They were more frightened of Judea than any other part of the empire. Ahasuerus also does not want the construction of the Beit HaMikdash, because the construction of the Beit HaMikdash, he understands, is going to mean Jews are going to start coming for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. There may even be religious Jews who want to be close to the Beit HaMikdash. Why come to the Kaisel once a year when you can have the Kaisel every day? It will mean the beginning of a Jewish renaissance, and he doesn't want that. So he tells her, Ad Chatzi HaMalchut. He doesn't know that she's Jewish, but he says this. There most probably were Jews who had been trying over the years to get the king to remove his prohibition on the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. They must have sent letters, and maybe they came with petitions that signed by 100,000 Jews calling for it. There may even have been peaceful demonstrations outside. This, he says, he will not, even Esther will not get that for him. Malka, do you understand what's going on over here? We're sitting here at this central branch of the Jerusalem College for Adults. Now we have the La Rome Hotel across the street, and we have the King David two blocks away. In the King David, Prime Minister Major of England. I think the British like the King David Hotel. From Geshepach Sach Nachas in the King David Hotel. All right. Christopher, of course, is extremely upset because Major is here. He's been thrown out of his suite. He says that it's his second home, the King David. Oh, his home. The poor man, Christopher, understand, has to settle now for the La Rome. Now, he has to settle for the La Rome. Now, do you understand? We're talking about the United States and Great Britain are right here in Yerushalayim now, on two sides of the Jerusalem College for Adults. By the way, the only real stuff going on over here is the study of Torah right over here. And the two of them on both sides really are meaningless. So you're going to ask me why the Roman Empire shook when Judea rebelled? Take a look at this. the interest of our whole world is here. If the world wants to be interested in something, I can tell them so many other places. Mehaget mentioned Tug Inacht in Algeria, in Egypt. Saddam Hussein is killing Kurds day in and day out. Iran is preparing for nuclear war. Pakistan, India, Sri Lanka. I'll take you through a whole world. Mishlutz of Mahagats of blood is flowing. And where's everybody's interest? Everybody's interest is right over here. We are right now at the center of the world. We're at the center of the world. And you know what? We would be perfectly happy not to be at the center of the world. But when Ahasuerus says to Esther, Ad Chatzi HaMalchut, so you have to understand there are many meanings to that Chatzi HaMalchut. Yes, something that's going to divide my Malchut, but then imagine in your mind the map of the ancient world. The very center of the ancient world. As it is today, Eretz Yisrael. You have Africa on one side, Asia on the other side. The Roman Empire held both sides. Ahasuerus, Nebuchadnezzar held both sides. What connected the empire? The empire was connected by this little piece of geography over here that's getting littler and littler. It's shrinking. Come on, it's done. It's shrinking. He sees her as a Malka now. And when he sees her as a Malka, he sees her as a partner with him in the Malchus. This shot never occurred to me, but as I'm trying to answer you now, I think maybe he's telling her, Ad Chatzi HaMalchut V'inatein Lach. He was not ready to share anything with Vashti, but he's ready to share something with her. There's something very special about her. Chazal do say, On the pasuk before, it says the following. First of all, Kivan, I told you the Chazal that says Kivan she higia lebet hatzlamim, when she came to the anteroom, the room before the throne room, was a room where they had idols. In that room, the Ruach Hakodesh disappeared from her. So she said, "Keli, Keli, lama azavtani." Then, where the pasuk says that she had found favor, Nosa Chen Lefon of Omer of Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Gimu Malachi Hashores Nizdamnu La Ba'otah Sha'ah. Three angels came to her at that time. Echad Shehigbia Et Savara, one who lifted her neck. In other words, most probably after 3 days of fasting and praying, she came walking, you know, humbled and broken. Ah, comes one malach. No, Esther. You're going to walk in with regal posture. So one of them gives her a zetz, and her neck stands up. She's not going to walk, you know, because appearances are so terribly important. It depends what she looks like. And if she's going to come in like a whimpering little leftist, it's not going to be good. She has to come in like a proud, strong, tall rightist. And then echot shemoshach chut shel chesed aleha. And there was another one that surrounded her with a grace, a beauty and grace. Ve'echot, and one shematachat hasharbit, one of them that extended the scepter. If Ahasuerus would have had any doubts about what to do, they gave him, Amalek gave him a zetz, and before he knows it, he has his golden scepter extended. But let's go further. Tamar Esther. Esther said, Im al ha-melech tov, if it will be good to the king, Yavo ha-melech v'haman ha-yom, if it's okay with you, Yavo ha-melech v'haman ha-yom al ha-mishta asher ositi lo, let Haman, the king and Haman come to the party that I have made for him. Strange request. If I would be the king, I'd be mystified. Absolutely mystified. She endangered her life in order to come in and invite me and Haman to a party? The king is not now ready to say curiosity mixed with suspicion, with a few grains of, or more than a few grains of fear. He doesn't know what to make of it. So therefore it says, Vayomer HaMelech, the king said, Maru et Haman, hurry Haman. He wants to get this party underway quickly. Hurry Haman, la'asot et dvar Esther, to do the word of Esther. Vayomer HaMelech v'Haman al Amishter, asher osta Esther. And the king and Haman came to the party that Esther made. Vayovo is singular. Well, how many people are coming? Two people are coming. Shouldn't have said Vayovo'u, and they came. Vayovo, they are united in one thing. They both don't know what's waiting for them. There's a certain unity over here. Haman and the king come as one. Why has she invited us? Vayomer HaMelech l'Esther b'mishteh hayayin, the king said to Esther at the party of wine, Ma she'elotech b'yinatein lach, u'ma bakashatech at chatzi ha'malchut v'teyaz. What is your question? What is it that you're asking? And it'll be given to you. What is your request? At chatzi ha'malchut, until half of the kingdom. And it will be done. I'll do it. Whatever you want. Interesting. We're going to find three times these two words repeated. She'ela and Bakasha. What's the difference between She'ela and Bakasha? She'ela is a question. And Bakasha is a quest. Now, I like that. She'ela is a question, and Bakasha is a quest. She'ela is, you ask for something, and you can get it immediately. Bakasha is something you have to go out and search for, and work for. It doesn't come easily. A she'ela, the answer to a she'ela can be given. The answer to a Bakasha, teos, has to be made, and has to be done. Bakesh. Shalom v'radfehu. Seek out peace and pursue it. It's not going to come easily. One classic pasuk where we have these two words. Achas sha'alti me'ed Hashem ota avakesh. David HaMelech says in L'David Hashem Odi, one thing have I asked of God, but asking of God is not enough. It has to be something not only that I ask, but ota avakesh, I go out and I seek it. Seek it always means that effort and energy has to be put in. So therefore, ma she'elateich, what is your question? And if it's a question, then v'yinatein lach, it's something that can be given quickly. If it is a bakasha, oh, then v'te'as. If we have to do, we have to work, we're going to do it. Now comes Esther's answer. When I say I want you to understand her answer, it means that I want you to feel how Ahasuerus feels when he receives her answer. I'll put it simply. This girl Esther is going to take the neshama out of him. She came walking in earlier that day, put her life on the line, and he wants to know, what is it, Malach? What's wrong? I want you to come to a party. And at the party, I'll do what you want. He hurries. He's been waiting for hours now. He hurries Haman to the party. Now, finally, the party has begun. He says, what is it that you want? What he wants more than anything else is to know what's on her mind. Now, listen to this. She's going to drive him mad. She's going to drive him mad. Listen to the sentence. And I'm going to say it. Two sentences. I'm going to say it the way she says it. Vatan Esther Vatomar. And Esther answered and said, She'elati. Ubakashati, my question and my request. Imotzati chein beinei ha'melech, if I have found a favor in the eyes of the king. V'imal ha'melech tov, and if it's good for the king, latet et she'elati, to give me that which I'm going to ask for. V'lasot et bakashati, and do my quest. So now you understand, this is a pretty long sentence. You know, she could have come to the point, but she hasn't come to the point. She's beating around the bush. And most probably, by Ahasuerus, his heart is pounding. What does she want? What does she want? These women. Say already, say already. What do you want? What do you want? What does he want? So what does she want? Yavo ha-melech v'haman, let the king and Haman come el ha-mishteh asher e'eseh lohem, the party that I will make for them.
Umachar e'aseh kedvar hamelech. And tomorrow, I'm going to do what the king wants. He's going to have to wait until tomorrow.
Meken meshugivechen. You can go out of your mind. Why can't you tell me now? What's your problem, Esther? Why can't you tell me straight what's in your mind? Obviously, something's on your mind. Why couldn't you have told it to me before this party? Why did I have to come to Fashlugana party one? Why do you have to keep me waiting for Fashlugana party number two?
Why don't you
tell me? He doesn't, because he knows that she's not going to answer. She has told him her answer. Tomorrow I will do Kedvar HaMelech. He needs her. And you know what happens when he needs her? He's just going to have to wait. He'll plats, but he's going to wait.
The Gemara. I'm going to read the great Gemara for you. Tanu Rabbanon, our rabbis learned. Ma rota Esther shezimne et Haman? Why did Esther invite Haman to a party? I mean, obviously the question therefore is, and why did she invite him to a second party? What's happening? What's her plan? There are going to be, I think, 10 or 11 answers given by a total of 14 Tanoim and Amoroim. Rabbi Eliezer says, Pachim Tomnolo. She was hiding, she was making a trap, traps for him. Shenema, Pasuk in Tilim that says, Yehi Shulchanam Lefnehem Lepach. Let their table be for a trap for them. She's laying a trap. By the way, does she know what kind of a trap she's laying for them? She doesn't know. Rabbi Yoshua says, Mi beis avi alamdo, she learned from her father's house, a pasuk in Mishlei, Im ra'ev sonacha, if your enemy is hungry, ha'achile ulechem, give him bread to eat. Give him bread. And the pasuk over there goes on to say, Gecholim atochol telerosho, what you're really preparing, you are preparing coals for his head. Rabbi Meir says, Kedei shelo yitol eitzo v'yimrod. She doesn't want Haman to rebel against Achashverosh. You see, do you know what's really happened over here? We're going to see it in the next pasuk. I'm going to have to get to the next pasuk. Haman is at the very peak of his power. In chapter 3 already, it had been described how everybody is bowing and bending before Haman because so the king has commanded. Haman has now been able to push through successfully his plan for the total elimination and extermination of the Jewish people. The king's signet ring has been handed over to Haman. Haman is at the peak of his power. Haman is that powerful that he can pull an Achashverosh, just like Achashverosh was able to topple those who came before him. What's to stop Haman now from toppling Achashverosh? And by the way, Haman has already created, in all 127 states, he has cells of people who are waiting for the great day on which they're going to destroy the Jewish people. He has people who are going to answer his call, listen for his order. He has people who are armed throughout the world. Esther knows this. She does not want Haman to rise to even greater power than he already is. So therefore she wants him close by, under her hand, maybe to catch him off guard. Maybe he should be off guard. Next, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kedei Shelo Kiru Bo Shehi Yehudiya. She doesn't want anybody to suspect that she's Jewish. Would anybody suspect that she's Jewish if she invites Hitler to a party? You invite Hitler to a party, you're not Jewish. Can't be Jewish. She wants to maintain complete secrecy with regard to her own identity. Rabbi Nechemia says, Kedei Shelo Yomru Achot Lanu B'Beit HaMelech,
You know why she invited Haman? Because she was afraid the Jews out there are not going to truly pray to God. Because you know what Jews out there are going to say? Listen, nothing to worry about. We got ourselves protected all the way at the top. We got a Yiddish medala. I remember Esther. I know Esther. Boy, will she do a job on Haman and Ahasuerus. Nothing to worry about. Jews, when they hear that Esther has invited Haman, all of a sudden, do you know what they begin to think? They begin to think that we don't have anybody. We don't have anybody that's going to save us. Ein lanu al mili hisha'ein. We have nobody upon whom to depend except Avinu Shabashamayim, our Father in Heaven. Rabbi Yossi says, Kadeshi Yamotsu lo b'cholet. Rabbi Yossi says, she doesn't really know what to do. All she wants is that Haman should be available. She wants him around. She wants him around. Because by having him around, maybe she will be able to ensnare and entrap him. Maybe he'll say something or do something that should not be done. And that way she'll be able to bring him down. Reb Shimon ben Menasseh Omer. I've lost count. We were up to Reb Shimon ben Menasseh says, Ulay argish hamakom v'yaseh lanu nes. Maybe God himself will feel her pain that she has to sit down to a party with these two Sonei Yisrael. Maybe God will feel the pain of a Jewish girl who has to sit down with Ahasuerus and Haman at a party, and he will do a miracle for them. Rabbi Yeshua ben Parcha says, Amra, she said, Azbir lo panim kidei sheyehareg hu vihi. You know what she decided upon? She was going to be very nice to Haman, exceptionally nice to Haman, so that Ahasuerus will become jealous and think that there's something going on between Esther and Haman and kill them both. She is ready to die. Al Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Gamliel says, Melech Hafach Vachoya. He was a king who kept changing his mind. So therefore she wanted the two of them together in case the king decides that he wants to destroy Haman, he should do it immediately. Because if Haman is not going to be available, then, you know, he'll change it. By the time he finally gets to Haman, he will have changed his mind. Keeps changing his mind. Rabbi Eliezer HaMoidoy, Yomar Rabbi Lozar HaMoidoy says, Kin Osob HaMelech, Kin Osob HaSarim. Rabbi Lozar HaMoidoy says that the womanly wiles of Esther, you know what she had in mind? She knows that if she invites Haman and Haman alone, she is going to create an air of envy and jealousy throughout the entire palace. All of the hundreds of Sarim who've not been invited are going to be upset. Why were they not invited and why was he invited? The king is going to think, why indeed did she invite only him? You know what it means? It's going to create an atmosphere of such tension that anything can ignite it. She wants to create the jealousy. You remember a few weeks ago, Leah Rabin made a party a few blocks down over here, and was it Kesar or somebody else whose invitation was Zvili, Nissen Zvili, very good. Oh boy, she's really up to. Zvili's invitation was rescinded. Bad enough that he was invited. Now they to disinvite you. You understand what kind of jealousies this creates?
Intrigue.
Very good. Jealousy begets intrigue, and who knows what the plotters in that palace will begin to plot against Haman. And then it says, Rabbi Omar, Rabbi says, this one I love. Pasuk says, Lifnei Shever Gaon. Pasuk in Mishle, Lifnei Shever, before God breaks somebody completely, Gaon, he raises him to the very heights. The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
He's selling from the camera.
Where? Yeah, it goes on. Oh, very good. Same thing over here. This Haman, as we described a few minutes ago, had reached the peak of his power. Now she has taken him one notch higher. The only one in the entire realm who is invited to a party together with the king and the queen. The only one the queen is going to invite. She has now lifted him to a position he can't go much higher. And this is the place, this is the moment at which he is going to fall. I've been saying this pasuk. I walk around the house very often saying this pasuk, Lifnei Shever Gaon. Every time I see these guys walking around with pomposity and arrogance, power that they've never had before, and all of us there enjoying every bit of the power and the telephone and the Volvos and the trips all around in the fleet, in the life, in Meret, wherever they go, there's a mic that's stuck into their faces and they talk and they talk. They're just Lifnei Sheva, before the moment that they break Gaon, they are raised to the heights. Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Tet Zayin. Abaye v'Rava Domru Tavayu. Abaye and Rava both say, Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, B'chomam Oshit Et Mishteyem. At the party I'm going to destroy them. Belshazzar, who was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. That's the famous story in Tanakh. They're getting drunk at a party and they see a hand writing on the wall. And then they call upon Daniel to tell them what it says, and Daniel tells them, Minei, Minei, Tekel, Ufarsin, you've been weighed and measured and found wanting. Bebeleia, that night, Belshazzar was killed. The forces of Paras Umadai that had surrounded Babylon regrouped, broke into the city, crushed, and brought to an end the Babylonian Empire. So therefore she says, parties are bad for these guys. The most unusual part of this Gemara is the end. Ashkechei Rabbe Baravu Eliyo, Rabbe Baravu once met Eliyo Anavi, Amalei, and he asked him, Kiman Chazia Esther V'Avdechach, like which one of these Tanoim Aramaroim, which one did Esther follow? Why did she really invite Haman? Why did she really invite Haman to the party? That was the question we began with. Amalei, Eliyahu answered, Kekulu Tanoi u Kekulu Amaroi. She had all of these in mind, everything that was said by all of these Tanoim and Amaroi. You know what it really means? She doesn't know what to do. She's all alone. And therefore she's using her royal womanly wiles. She's creating suspicion and intrigue. She wants Haman on the hand. She doesn't know. You know what she's really waiting for? She's waiting for some kind of a sign. The darkness is thick. There is no prophet. There is no Ruach HaKodesh. There is no indication from heaven. This girl is all alone. She's waiting. And therefore she has to... She's playing an extremely dangerous game. She's waiting. Let's try and run through to the end of this. Now we're not going to make it to the end of the chapter. Of course, what's going to happen is the sign is going to come. That night, next chapter says that night, Ahasuerus is not going to sleep. They're going to read the Book of Chronicles before him. He's going to find out that Mordechai had once saved his life, and Mordechai was never rewarded for it. And then he's going to tell Haman to take Mordechai out into the streets on the horse and say, so shall be done for the man whom the king wishes to honor. That will be the indication, the oath, the sign, min hashamayim, from heaven, that Haman is about to fall, and at the second party he falls. All that I just tried was to show you it's not a simple sefer. You have to have a feeling of the emotions, everything that's happening. It's powerful. Okay, Chag Sameach to you all. Thank you very much for the Shalach Manas, Tzom Kal.